Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time, FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby, come on.
Splits in the car took out of ours evenly to make up for his full end. Because I want to pay off and get rid of this motherfucker right now.
The problem is?
The problem is your man here says we're not properly dressed. Like our money, just want a couple of beers.
Two beers, that's it.
That's it, we'll be on our way. We're looking for trouble. I suppose like a general video bitch, but I appreciate it.
All right. You got some booze down here, nice cold ones. Get some nice cold food. Come on.
Come over here.
One more, one more beer. Alright, brothers. Quiet face. Toast. Whoa. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, you were Captain.
That wasn't very nice.
Now he's gonna leave. I'll tell you when the fuck we leave, alright? Get the fuck out.
Watch the bikes, man. Hey,
now you scared me. I will never forget the look on the faces. All eight of them. Their faces dropped. All their courage and strength was drained right from their bodies. They had a reputation for breaking up bars. But they knew that instant they made a fatal mistake. This time they walked into the wrong bar.
Now I just can't leave. What's going on, family? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours. You heard the man? Now you just can't leave. I'd like to take time and shout out everybody for taking part in Philly Friday. And I also like to take the time out to thank all of you for deciding to pull up this evening. We're here. And coming straight out of North Philadelphia. It's approximately 6 minutes after the hour. Temperature is a cool 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And we want to shout out all our family up here in New York. Shout out to our Brooklyn family up there at Mecca Evers College. And all of you around the land.
pretty dope, man. I got a chance to see who's listening today. And I want to thank all the thousands of you who are tuning in tonight. You are what makes this clock tick. So I appreciate you all pulling up. And man, it's always some wild stuff going on in the news. As y'all know, we have aircraft carriers pulling up in the Middle East. So this looks to be the precipice for what already is, if you acknowledge it, World War III. But the precipice is here. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're actually in the right mindset, because all in all, we are all we got. Truth to be told, we're all we need. So, with that, man, I want to get into the program, and I'm a little under the weather. I just want to let y'all know, but, you know, always pulling up, ready to pull up for office hours. I cannot leave my students out there just hanging in the wind. Yo, have any of y'all heard about this, this situation between DJ Academic and Saucy Santana? You know, typically, I don't indulge in low-hanging fruit, but I'm looking at some of the responses to it. So to give y'all a little background, I don't know how it got to this point, to be perfectly honest, because I just didn't see the need to dig too deep. But somehow, some way, DJ Academics always seems to be at odds with somebody. He always just seems to be at odds with somebody. And apparently, he's gotten on the radar to a rapper who is flamboyantly gay by the name of Saucy Santana. Now, some of you might ask, why did I bring that up? Well, it's because DJ Academics, like we said, who has no problem with having issues with people from the hetero community, or from what I understand, issues with women, was last seen on his broadcast crying because he said he did not want to respond to the threats made by one Saucy Santana. I guess Saucy Santana said something to the effect of he's going to knock Academics out, and Academic might be out on his stomach, and he said something about taking his manhood, apparently. So, apparently this has been going on for a little bit. And Academic was crying and basically stated that he didn't want to be canceled. That's why he's not responding, because he said if he responds, he's afraid that the alphabet community, the LGBTQKDJ community, would, you know, put him down. So he was caught crying. Now, interesting enough, he was actually called out on this by the formerly incarcerated, now rapper. Well, he was a rapper before, but My Song. And here's what My Song had to say on his Twitter account. It's crazy to me how DJ Academics is crying, scared to say anything to Saucy Santana because he's a gay man and he's scared of getting canceled. But
has said some of the most outlandish, vile, disrespectful, and demeaning things to black women with absolutely no fear whatsoever. Couple of emojis brings me back to Malcolm X's quote. The most disrespected, unprotected, and neglected person in America is the black woman. And that, my friend, is why I'm actually commenting on this whole thing. It's not that I disagree with the fact that if DJ Academic is going to be confrontational with black women, that he shouldn't also keep that same energy when it comes to homosexual men. Yeah, we know the politics of this all. We do. Quite frankly, I'm surprised he had been canceled about black women. Because black women also hold that type of power, you know, when it comes to the media, specifically social media. Black Twitter has been known to cancel a few brothers. However, this last part of my song's response on Twitter, where he brings up the Malcolm X quote, the most disrespected, unprotected, neglected person in America is the black woman. First and foremost, I wonder, well, this has to be one of those outdated quotes in American history. Black women in America, up until recently, have become a protected class, specifically in the black community. So much to the point where 35 years ago, our grand sister and elder, Shahrazad Ali, wrote a book about how to treat a black man. And in that book, she had some critiques, some revelations, and concern to the behaviors and the responsibilities of black women concerning the dysfunction of the black community. Shahrazad Ali, at that particular time, became the most disrespected and unprotected and neglected person in America as a black woman. When you have people selectively cherry picking when they use quotes like this, it becomes disingenuous. Because now we're only going to take these matters to which we can present winnable arguments. But does it hold water? Does it hold water for when the past decade black women have been celebrated as having black girl magic? Black women have been promoted as basically the model minority. Black women's achievements have been stated all over and over and over again. At the same time, the reputation and the public image of black men was consistently smeared. Are we really going to talk about this from that particular perspective? I wonder, this is the second part. If our dear ancestor, Malcolm X, the Honorable Malcolm X, if he was still alive today, would he echo those same sentiments that he made in 1962? So let's explore this whole concept about the reverence of black women in America. I want y'all to hear me good here. Prior to the first decade of the 1800s, of the 17th century, of the 19th century, there had been the import of African slaves coming to America was about 9 to 1. African males versus females. Because the majority purpose of slavery was to create and generate a free labor, a free slave labor class. Men were just more productive to have on the plantations. Now, of course, black women were also brought and domesticated and taught how to raise a white man's children and taught how to answer to the mistress of the home. But those roles were few and far between. The house Negroes were heavily outnumbered by the field Negroes. So in that particular, and understanding that, you have to understand that prior to that point in time, there was not a significant place put on respecting black women in this country. It got proceedingly worse at the end when the transatlantic African slave trade was abolished, technically on January 1st, 1808. And primarily abolished because the British Navy was creating an embargo and they were blocking the shipping lanes. That's primarily why the transatlantic slave trade stopped. And so with that in mind, there became an infusion of African women, girls and women, brought to America for the specific purpose of being breeders. So breeding colonies were created in the Caribbean and in the Americas, specifically in the South, the Southern, of what was then was considered the Southeast, one of the Southeast regions, but it was the Maryland region, Delaware, near D.C. That place now we kind of commonly refer to as DMV. That region became synonymous with becoming breeders, breeding colonies of African slaves. So therefore, the term bitch that's usually used to talk about a dog was now referred to black women. The terms like mother effer were the term that was put in place to the sons that had put in these stables with bags over their heads, raping their mothers. But all these terms put in place by not black men, by good old white dad. And see, you have to understand something too. The black woman was most hated, not by the white men who brought her here to America, but by the white mistress, who took it personally that her husband was freely going into the cabins, the slave cabins on the plantations, and raping black women at his leisure. Raping the house Negroes who happened to be women. So we need to understand these things. So when we start talking about disrespect to black women, it didn't start with black men. And I believe heavily that that's part of the speech that people aren't paying attention to when Malcolm says it. Because when you say this particular part today about being the most disrespected and unprotected, the assumption is black men are the ones responsible for that. You cannot protect with doesn't respect. All right? And if you have a whole cauldron of black women don't respect black men, there's no way they can be protected by black men. And that's something that's underrated, underguarded, undertold, undersold. That's why y'all got me here today. So, that's my response to that piece. Now, you know, speaking of disrespect, I want y'all to hear this clip. I want y'all to hear this clip from, well, actually, I'm not going to play it yet. Actually, I should play it. Because I got a special guest coming on today. Hopefully, he's able to make it. Okay, I just got a message from him. He's on the way. All right. And, you know, I want to talk about this whole notion of respect. So, real quick, for my brother Lawson, we're probably going to have to play him twice. As y'all know, Tyrese Gibson is currently going through a divorce. Well, I guess he went through the divorce, but I guess they're trying to clarify a few things in terms of the clerical work. So Tyrese and his ex-wife, Ms. Samantha Lee, formerly known as Samantha Lee Gibson, have been very public about their disputes and the claims that were made. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And I want y'all to hear Tyrese's latest response, because he's bringing receipts up this time in regards to why it was that his ex-wife wanted to get back with her. You know, and so we're going to play this clip real quick. All right, so hold tight. I want y'all to hear this because it's going to be about 3 minutes, so I'm just going to let it play.
I'm about to get put out of my place. I can't afford to. All
right, hold on, y'all. Sometimes I think it's still, you know, the technology nowadays is a little changed. Hold on.
I'm about to get put out of my place. I can't afford to live there anymore. So then 3 days later, after wrestling with, man, what was that call about? She texts me and she says, can you watch Soraya for the next 2 weeks? Because I'm about to get put out of my place. I can't afford to live there anymore. I gotta downsize and move into something else. And my fucking heart dropped because I said, why? You called me after almost a year to finally have this conversation about reconciliation, which was disingenuous. It wasn't real. It was not a God moment. It wasn't you realizing that leaving your husband and your family as harsh and as heartless and as traumatic and as vile and calculated as that was, you did not feel a way about leaving your husband and your family. You were entertaining reconciliation because you couldn't afford to stay in your town. She had two friends to call me, and she's like, oh man, Sam's about to call me. She wants to reconcile. She said that God is really showing her that she wants to grow a marriage and family. So I get on with these two friends, and I get on the phone and talking and I'm listening, and I'm like, okay. So then that tells Sam to call. So she called and we talked. We were on the phone for about 3 hours. And the first thing I had to say to her was, you'll notice how fast I called you back. Which means I don't need 10, 12 chasing me, trying to talk me into anything And I don't want to play this game. I've been chasing you for almost a year. Now that you're ready to finally get back into marriage, I want you to chase me. I want to play a game. I'm not playing no game. I'm going to get on the phone, and we're going to talk about it. So after we talked for like 3 hours, I told her the first thing, you may call Zelly or think of Zelly as some influencer, fat booty, vixen. You may put her in the category of whatever you as a woman put her in the category of. But this is my girl. I'm in a full-on relationship. You left me. I have not talked to you. I've not been able to get you to call me back. You have literally left me, this marriage and this family, for dead. And everything that you accuse me of in this paperwork and everything that has been revealed to me about your intentions, I can't unsee that. I can't unfeel that. I can't undo that.
So, yeah. So, turns out that my suspicions last week were correct. Samantha Lee was running out of money. And she tried to use Tyrese to come up, which was foul. Now, a lot of people would refer to Tyrese to Sim. I'm not so sure I would go as far as say the brother to Sim, especially the way he's handling this situation. What I will say is that brother is what all these women claim they want. He's one of those brothers that give you that old school love. And for some strange reason, our women don't seem to be able to respect that. Now, there's also the other aspect, too, that I'm familiar with. And that is the way women monkey branch and set up monkey branch situations. And I'm willing to bet that it was somebody that she wanted to get with, and Tyrese alluded to it last time, where he said he's not going to even mention who she started dating. You know, but there's always a monkey branch situation when a woman is ready to risk it all. Now, for all of you women out there that's going to say, and vice versa, men do it too, let me explain something to y'all about that whole dynamic. If a man, in most cases, is ready to leave that relationship, that man, it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be anybody out there waiting for us. A man will choose peace of mind over that peace leave that you have in between your legs. A woman doesn't come about that automatically to have a man starry eyed and thinking of the possibilities. But a lot of women do. I've seen that with women. Personally. Well, so when he mentioned about her wanting to get back to his good graces was another tactic, another ploy. She tried to clean it up, and that's why he came out with this interview. And I'm glad that Tyrese is speaking out, because a lot of times men are pressured into being silent about the abusive relationships that we endure with women. And so the woman tells the whole story. She's allowed to go on a whole tour. Look at Tia Mary. Corey Hardrick hasn't said a single word since their relationship ended. A single word. She's going on tour. She's taking it abroad. And she just keeps talking about toxicity and finding peace. But anybody with eyes can plainly see who was toxic, who was the primary disturber bringing the disturbance of peace. Anybody with two eyes can see that, and half a mind can see that. Ladies, when are y'all going to be accountable for how we got here? Because that's the real question right now. when they are going to be accountable, right? Because I got this sister. This sister here, right? And this is short. But this is sister who she's a therapist, right? Listen to her response. I played a video the other week talking about the fact that therapy, women are the ones that quit therapy when it's their turn to be accountable, right? Listen to what she said. I'm like, well, turn the music off. Listen.
And based on the feedback I'm getting, there are men who've been married 15, 20 years that said they've never heard their wife apologize. I know some men who say, yeah, I'm just started dating someone. She's struggling to apologize. And men saying that they've been married for 20 years. So, again, I think it's tied to the emotional maturity of that person. It's tied to the toxic shame if that person has trauma. And
that's right. I can count on one hand how many times I've heard a woman apologize. And it's typically after they've been told, you don't apologize. Or your apologies always come with the word but. Your availability and ability to be accountable always comes with the word but. Very rarely have I heard a woman actually just through her own volition apologize. And then let me tell you something else that's even more insulting. For your woman, as a man, for you to make a point in a case to your woman about your stance on a particular issue, she doesn't offer you any recompense. But then later comes back and says, you know, I was talking to this other brother and I explained the situation and he actually showed me where I was wrong. So I apologize. Do you know how insulting that is to the man you're dealing with? Do you honestly know how insulting that is to the brother that's supposed to be your man that you don't trust? Anything that comes from him, you don't trust him enough to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you'll trust this other man? You'll allow for this other man to share this, to show you the error in your ways? You need validation from another man to validate the fact that your man was right to begin with? Fellas, I'm going to tell you right now, the first time that happens, leave her. Let her go. Let her go be with the men whose opinions she trusts. Leave her. Let her go. We spend too much time putting up with this type of disrespect, type of disregard, and low-level hostility and disdain from women from which we did not earn. So, I got a message. Dr. Jones is running a little late, but don't worry, y'all. I got another message for y'all. We have extended this edition of Office Hours to 90 minutes tonight.
What?
That's right, 90 minutes tonight.
What?
I know how y'all feeling about this. I know how y'all feeling. That's right. We're going to have y'all out in the parking lot.
Ding, ding, ding.
Going like this. Celebrating the Jubilee. Hallelujah. But I got more. I got more. See, let me show y'all what it sounds like where a man is accountable. And shout out to Tyrese, man. Because when he answers this question,
what more do you want from me?
Brother, you're giving us what we need. So we appreciate you, beloved. Shout out to you, brother. Alright? So, and I'm looking for this other video that I have here in terms of, because I have a bunch of clips. Y'all already know I come fresh. Right? And I'm going to tell y'all, this is what it sounds like. This is what it sounds like. And y'all going to have to excuse the language on this one. This one's actually going viral on my page, my Professor Carl Tone Jones page on Facebook. Alright, this is what it sounds like when men are addressing other men. Like I said, excuse the language. Even some younger brothers, but excuse the language.
I'm a pussy brother. And my baby mama.
You fucking baby mama, Carl. Nigga, everybody got a fucking right, bro. Did you with your baby mama right there? I ain't there, so what the fuck you killing that nigga for? He did something to your kid. I ain't there, he playing the fucking wrong, nigga. You got a man enough, nigga. You want to kill a nigga over some fucking pussy, bro. You got your own shit going on, bro. You got a crib, you got your shit going on. You want to kill a nigga and lose all this shit over some fucking pussy. Is you fucking your baby mama right now?
Nah, but that's...
I ain't there, nigga. Shut the fuck up. You ain't been killing no nigga over no motherfucking pussy, bro. Shut the fuck up, bro. Fuck you saying? You got a fucking bitch out today?
I mean, yeah.
Don't she got a baby daddy?
Yeah, but for real.
You want to kill your bitch, eh?
I'm going to do the fuck that ain't important.
I'm going to party and think you ain't got a real bitch.
That's my bitch, nigga.
Nigga, that's your baby mama, nigga. That's somebody else's bitch right now, nigga. She getting fucked right now. Your baby mama getting fucked and she happy right now. Take your bitch ass home somewhere, man.
Yeah. Excuse the verbiage, but sometimes as men, we gotta talk to each other like that. Hold each other accountable. I got brothers right now. If they see me slipping, they hold your boy down. And that's the only people I deal with in life. The only people I deal with in life. Now let me tell you an example. Show you an example. But when a woman doesn't want to be accountable, hold on.
Let me ask you something. You better be real with me because
what?
I am naked right now.
What,
David? 16 years you got to run around with John. This man telling me he ain't my real daddy. Please tell me that actually.
I mean, I can tell you that, but it's not true. I mean, it's
just true.
He not your dad.
So who's my dad then?
I'm gonna just be real with you. Back in the day. First of all, why am I explaining anything to you anyway?
What you mean?
I'm not your daddy.
So, that's what we're dealing with. And this is not random. This is not all women. No. This is far too many of you women. And those of you who are, don't mind covering up or silently playing a role on the side while you watch the effery take place. Far too many of you. Far too many of you. Dishonest. Papa's baby. Excuse me. Mama's baby, papa's maid. Come on now. And we're finding out now that 30 to 40% of men assigned to the paternal responsibility of children born with women that they have lain with, I find out that they are not the father. In my more pompous voice. But yet still, we have women out here portraying the old beat down narratives of deadbeat dads. Kirk Franklin had to find out on a nationally televised syndicated show that the man for which he chastised on his deathbed for not being around was not even his father. The dirty tricks that are played by women. I dated a woman now later. I found out she had actually stole a man's child. Had his child. Flew way around all around the country so that he couldn't find her. Put the child up for adoption. So now her aunt and uncle are raising this baby. In the great state of Texas. That's right. The accountability. I'm going to read something to y'all. And this is a quote that's been borrowed. I know where this quote came from. It didn't come from this person. But it says, adversity does not build character. It reveals. A person's true character can only be measured by how they respond when times are tough. Facing difficulties is inevitable. Learning from them is optional. And I'm pretty sure y'all know a lot of people who, when they face a tough time, see the real person come out. You see the real anger, the real triggering, the real animosity type person reveal itself. And how much, and then you ever notice how much more comfortable they seem when they finally fall back to that character? And I have some, I've been requesting to do some interviews over the next few weeks. Well, I actually get to tell my story over the last calendar year. And when I tell you that shit is made for TV, ninja, let me tell you something. So hopefully some of you are able to, you know, pull up and check that story out. And I'm thinking we might not be able to, we might have to pull Doc up for next week. And I'm communicating while we speak. So we might be off at our regular hour tonight. So, because he got a late start on his program, and that's why we were going to try to extend it. But I have a few more clips. Because, they say, always come prepared. But I there's something else, right, that I wanted to run by y'all. And this is a clip that I wanted to run by y'all because this speaks to when women ask about a man and his emotional intelligence. So hold tight. I want y'all to hear this real quick. But this sister breaks it down. I'm actually going to stop speaking to this. Because this sister actually breaks it down a little song. Hold tight.
Do you ladies feel like women are seriously ready for emotionally intelligent men?
Kitty, what do you think?
Okay, let's talk about what emotional intelligence comes with before we even get into this conversation, okay? We're talking about you wanting a man who is tolerant, who regulates his emotions, who also knows how to manage your emotions. Mm-hmm. But you're also talking about a man who knows how to navigate his sensitivities and everything else when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. But you have to consider that an emotionally intelligent man is good at cutting people off when he sees that your sensitivities bring too much reactivity.
Ooh.
When he sees that you cannot regulate your emotions. Mm-hmm. When he sees that you have a low tolerance. This type of man that you are asking for is a man who will walk you out the door in a heartbeat. If he feels like you are disrupting his peace. If he feels like there's any level of disrespect, because there's a lot that comes with emotional intelligence. So if you ask him for that, you got to come with the same level of emotional intelligence as well. Okay? That comes with a number a factor. So if you are a woman who knows that even though you may be sensitive to certain things like criticism, rejection, because you're not always going to be accepted. Sometimes he's going to bounce back. And sometimes he's going to say, I don't agree with your opinion. Sometimes he's going to say, I don't like those thoughts. Sometimes he's going to say, I don't like the way you speak to me. If you're not ready for that, don't be asking for an intelligent man.
Yeah. That's what it's like to deal with a man with emotional intelligence. And here's the thing. Y'all ain't ready. When it comes to dealing with a man with emotional intelligence, y'all come from a place of silence, shame, insult, guilt. You need to be right. Y'all don't know how to handle a man with standards. And a man with emotional intelligence damn sure has standards. Y'all can't handle that. Y'all can't handle a man that actually... I've recently had an interaction with somebody. And I don't put too much of my business out there. But she wanted to argue. I don't do arguing. I learned, listen, when I say I learned, I'm sage. I'll see half a century in a little over 6 months. I am not arguing with nobody. So it got to the point in the conversation where I would let her talk for about 5 minutes uninterrupted. I get 12 seconds in. She's cutting me off. I said, listen, I'm going to need you to shut up. And if you don't shut up and allow me to respond, allow me to make a clear point without any interruption, that's the end of this conversation. Only having this conversation for your benefit. You need to understand. She got quiet. Not only did she get quiet, she was able to better organize her thoughts and responses. You see, ladies, when you say you want a man that's going to allow you to rest in your femininity, it's cat. You want to meet that man, and at first your natural reaction is to become more feminine. But because you've been hardwired for so long to be adverse to in that feminine place because you feel vulnerable, because you've been living the lies told by your aunties and your grandmothers and your mamas and all your older sisters and so forth about not trusting a man, especially a black man. That when it comes down to it, you start fighting. You start fighting with every breath you have, every step you can. You start fighting that feeling. And you try to justify it by saying, it's just how I am. That's just what I was taught. Well, listen to your lack of maturity, because people grow. Adults grow. Adults don't stay purposely in that place of arrested development. And therapy doesn't work for you all. See, what I mean by the fact that you don't, that it's black men, because when you go to work, typically you're working for a white man. That white man don't have to worry about any type of disrespect from you. That white man will have you bringing casseroles, freaking lasagna, all types of shit to work because you want to see a smile on that man's face that barely acknowledges you, underpays you, and doesn't show you the time of death. But you're trying. And then you see the brother is trying to show you some love, show you some respect. and we can't deal with that. What was that TV show that Kerry Washington was in that all of y'all women love so much? She was in that TV show. Let me see. What was that show that y'all loved her so much for? When she was like the bed went to the president. Thank God she married Nandi Altuwa. Solid brother. Scandal. Do y'all remember in that movie, in that television show Scandal? Kerry Washington's role? I know because all black women love that show. Oh, I just love to see how powerful she is. This and the other. The first episode, she was practically raped by the damn president. She was actually openly dating the most powerful politically powerful black man in the country at the time. Did y'all notice the difference in the treatment? How dismissive she was of that brother? And she had a strong father. Her father was president in that show. Her father was like this covert agent, but he was like a mover and shaper in the shadows. But she knew her father wielded his power. Excuse me, wielded power. Yet still, she was totally submissive to this married white man. And that's what I mean. That's typical. Shonda Rhimes put that story out. That's typical of the relationship we have with our women. That white man can ravish her, even against her will on occasion. But he's still treated with the decency, love, respect. It should be reserved for your own man. But it is nothing but contempt. And it ain't just one of y'all. This is how all of y'all are. There's a song that fits. Here's the loop. Y'all don't be mad about this one. That's right. Shout out to Tupac. Everywhere we go, we see the same hoes. Y'all might not like it, but from the boardroom to the bedroom, from pole position to a position on the pole, from the executive suite to the ones that sell sex in the sheets, we cannot distinguish a class of black women that distinguishes themselves from any other group. This is why when y'all are doing y'all workout videos, y'all sexy montages on social media, listen to the music. Sex Parade, Meg Thee Stallion. What's the other one that can barely speak? I forget her name. That did that song with Meg Thee Stallion. Cardi B. All the same tricking ass song. Talking about wanna get my coochie scratched. Whenever the international image is the same. I got one more on that one too. I got one more on that one. On that one. And my good brother, brother here in Philly, Dave Anderson, was recently interviewed. And talking about the effects of reality TV. Hold on.
Why? It destroys the image of black.
What about reality TV?
I hate it.
Why?
It destroys the image of black women in America as the black woman.
Hold on. go back to that.
All right. Destroys the image of black women in America. As the black woman goes, so goes black society. You would be hard pressed to find a show where you actually see black women who are actual entrepreneurs, not some fun little boutique in the mall, not a kiosk, not I've got an eyelash line, but actual entrepreneurs. You know what you do see, though? A bunch of women who are throwing drinks at each other, talking bad about each other, talking about each other, smiling at each other's faces, backstabbing, and then that image goes out into the world. So then you wonder why so many black women are, quote unquote, not protected, not respected, treated like the animals. You wonder why when you go to a hospital, they say, oh, she don't need anesthesia because you're strong and independent, because that's the image that's out there. You're loud, you're boisterous, you're weed, weed wearing, you got snuffle up against eyebrows out there, you got a BBL that's killing you and your thighs don't match. And then let's not get started on what they do to black men. They're either completely emasculated or there's some type of thug Tupac caricature that completely eliminates the ability to express our intelligence, our creativity, and our need to not only protect, provide, but actually nurture a woman in a place where she can feel safe to be who she is. And then on top of that, you can't point to a reality show that does not have somebody who does not look like us at the helm, up to including those other hip-hop ones, because everybody focuses on how bad Mona Scott is, but nobody says anything about Jim Ackerman.
Yeah. So, I'm going to leave y'all with that. Because that actually fits in to the first part. We were talking about that same Malcolm X book. Sisters, y'all have your own self blame for your image today. As we look to continue to repair the image of black people all over the world. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Sorry we didn't get the doctor. His program ran over. So we're going to try it again next week. But until then, y'all, remember something. War and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. Alright, Lester, we out of here. Peace.
Delaware with one change of gear. Nothing on my mind but the dime sack we blaze with the glaze in my eye that we find when we crave dollars and cents. A fugitive with two attempts. Jakes had no trace of the face. Now they drew a print. Though I'm innocent to proven guilty, I'ma try to get filthy. Purchase a club and start up a realty. For real, G, I'ma fulfill my dream. If I could seal my scheme, then precisely I build my cream. The first trip without the click. Sit the with the quarter brick. This is it. Fresh face. NY place. Got a crooked eye for the jakes. I want it all. Armor on bins and endless papes. God's sake, what it gotta do to make a half a million without the FBI catching feelings.
Street dreams all made of these. Thugs drop rumors in 300 A game of destiny is reaching the keys. And the key, everybody's looking for something. Street dreams all made of these. Shorties on the knees for players with big cheese. Who am I to disagree? Depths of hell, let's bring them cowards going. Well, all your skills down, I'll up when you see me, and let the
thousand feet back. Holding cats wasn't making me fat. Snitches on my back, living with moms, getting it on, flushing crack down the toilet. Two sips from being alcoholic.
Our next guest is really, really, really a spectacular individual, and he's real smooth, so I'm taking lessons from him. You know, when you get older, you want to be like a cat like this. It's my great pleasure to introduce Chicago's very own Oscar Brown Jr.
Apologize for being black, for all I am plus all I lack. Please, sir, please, ma'am, give me some slack, cause I apologize. I apologize for being poor, for being sick and tired and so. Since I ain't slick, don't know the scope, I do apologize. I apologize because I bear resemblance most black people share. Thick lips, flat nose, and nappy hair. Yes, I apologize. I apologize for how I look, for all the lows and blows I took. On those, Lord knows I'd close the book as I apologize. I apologize for all I gave, for letting you make me your slave and go into my early grave. Yes, I apologize. I apologize for being caught, for being sold, for being bought, while being told I count for naught. Yeah, I apologize. I apologize for all I've done, for all my toil out in the sun. Don't want to spoil your righteous fun, so I apologize. I apologize and curse my kind for being fooled, for being blind, for being ruled and in your bind. Yes, I apologize. I apologize and curse my fate for being slow, for being late, because I know it's me you hate. Why not apologize? I apologize and tip my hat, because you so rich and free and fat. Son of a bitch, that's where it's at. And I apologize.
Work and work.
Keep those bags and machines humming.
Work and work.
My